Welcome. Today we are going to study a sicha in Chelek Yud Aleph, the second sicha in Parshas Vayakhel. We won't study from the actual text of the sicha in the Hebrew, but we will follow the outline as the Rebbe presents it in the sicha. And today is a classic example of a sicha where we have a seemingly straightforward, obvious, well-worded, simple, easy-to-read Rashi, but when you pry a little bit under the surface, we will unearth not only a new storyline and a new dimension to the story, but we will also be able to glean relevant lessons in our lives as we get ready to read this Parsha Vayakhel. So here we go. This week's Parsha deals with Moshe conveying the instructions that he receives from Hashem, detailing all the components in the construction of the Mishkan, how to create all the different vessels. Moshe got those instructions from Hashem. Now he gathers the Jewish people, he conveys those instructions, and we read about the actual construction of how the Jewish people created the Mishkan. And in this week's Parsha, we have the sentence that says, Vayas Bezalel Asaharim, a man then by the name of Bezalel, the chief architect, the one who was appointed by Hashem from the tribe of Yehuda to oversee the creation of the entire Mishkan. Bezalel made the Aron, the holiest keli, the holiest component of the Mishkan. And Rashi, and I'll read it in the Hebrew, says, Lefisha nosa nafshe ala malacha yeser mishar chachamim. Because Bezalel dedicated himself so selflessly, more than any of the other engineers and wise men who were creating the Mishkan, because of that, Nikras al Shmai. Because of that, the Torah calls the Aron, says, Bezalel made it. The Torah gives him naming rights, gives him credit, and forever we will associate this Aron with Bezalel. Why? Because he dedicated himself so much to the creation of the Mishkan, this chief architect, therefore he's given the association, the zchus, the merit, to be associated with the Aron as the one who created the Aron. Okay. What causes Rashi to interject and to make this comment? What is bothering Rashi? What is motivating him to tell us this? And what bothers Rashi, the question seems to be an obvious one. You're reading along in this week's Torah Parsha. And you see, it says, Vayas, they made the menorah. Vayas, they made this. They made the shulchan. They made the mizbeach. They made the krashim. They made the adanim. All of a sudden, Vayas Bezalel Asaharim. All of a sudden, one individual is given credit for making one of the components of the Mishkan. Why? All of a sudden, you see a change, a shift. And there are not too many Rashis in this week's Parsha, because most of it is a repetition of the instructions that Hashem gave to Moshe already. But here, all of a sudden, when it's talking about the creation, they made this, they made this, they made this, and Bezalel made the other. Why? Says Rashi, because he dedicated himself. So here's the question. It's a good question. Why is the Aron, why single out one person with the creation of the Aron? Well, the answer should also be a simple one. Why wouldn't the answer be straightforward and simple? Because Bezalel actually did make the Aron. Bezalel, it would make sense, he's the chief architect. He wanted to make sure you get this Aron right. He sat there and he dedicated himself and he made the Aron. You have a question, a great question. Why is the Aron different than all the other vessels? Why, when it says to all the other components of the Mishkan, does it say, they made this, they made this, they made this, they made this, and Bezalel made the Aron? Rashi should tell us, because Bezalel made the Aron. Doesn't that make the most sense? Now, obviously, Bezalel was involved in every aspect of the creation of the Mishkan, but it would make sense that he said, I'm solo on this. Maybe there were teams and all the other components, but this one is my baby, my project, Bezalel made the Aron. So the question we're going to deal with is, why does Rashi go this way and not this way? Why does he take the approach to tell us, no, Bezalel actually wasn't the only one making the Aron. Many people made the Aron. The reason it's called Bezalel's Aron is because of his selfless dedication to the Mishkan. It's not because he actually built the Aron. Why does he take that path? Why doesn't he just say the reason it's called Bezalel's Aron is because it's Bezalel's Aron, Bezalel made it? Wouldn't that seem like the most straightforward, simple, obvious solution to a glaring question in this week's Parsha? So that is the primary issue we're going to address, and that's question number one. Question number two is something in the syntax and the words and the verbiage of Rashi, and that is as follows. The Torah says, Vayas, they made this, they made this, Vayas, Bezalel made. But then in Rashi's actual text, he says this, because Bezalel dedicated himself for the Malacha. Malacha is seemingly an exact synonym for the word Asiya. They made. Because Bezalel dedicated himself more to the creation of the Mishkan. He should have said, because Bezalel dedicated himself to the Asiya, to the creation. It's the same word that's used throughout the entire Torah. All of a sudden, here we have the word Melacha, which also seems to mean just creation, making. So Rashi says, Bezalel dedicated himself more to the Melacha, to the creation. Why did Rashi just keep in line with the syntax, with the same verbiage used in the Torah? Because Bezalel dedicated himself more with the Asiya. Why the Melacha? These are just two words in Hebrew that seemingly mean the same things, but as we'll describe in a few moments, the difference is actually, it captures the essence of what Rashi is trying to tell us and gives us what it is that Rashi is conveying here. So this is here are the questions. Number one, why not say that Bezalel just made the Aron? If it's called Bezalel's Aron, why not just say Bezalel actually made it? Number two, why the change in the language? Okay, let's put that on hold for a few moments and let us now rewind the tape three Torah portions ago. When Hashem is actually giving the instructions to Moshe on how to build the Mishkan. And there, Rashi tells us, Rashi, as you might remember from those portions, describes in detail, gives us literally a picture-perfect image of what the Mishkan looked like, gives us all the details and fills it in for us so we can have the Mishkan come alive for us, and tells us that, you know, when they made the Aron, when they made the Ark, it was box, three boxes, inside of which were the Luchos, the tablets, the staff of Aaron, part of the Man, maybe even the Torah scroll of Moshe, various sacred items that will be kept ad infinitum, eternally for the Jewish people. And then there's a covering to cover the box. And Rashi says, and I'll read it in the Hebrew, even though we don't have an actual dimension for the thickness of the cover, we know how long it was, how wide it was, its width and length, because we know that the box was 2.5 by 1.5 amos. But we do not know the thickness. The Torah doesn't record it in the text. But nonetheless, our sages tell us that its thickness was a tefach. That's pretty big, a handbreadth. We're talking about a very, very thick piece of gold that covered the Aron. Why does Rashi give us this piece of information? Well, simply because Rashi wants to give us a picture of what the Aron looked like. So therefore, I want you to know it had a very, very thick covering of gold. But in addition, Rashi is actually addressing another question and giving us an answer to another question, which should have come up 3 weeks ago, and Rashi addresses it there, and that is as follows. Moshe, Hashem is telling Moshe, here's how you build a Mishkan. Make the menorah like this, make the shulchan like this. And he's constantly using the word in the Hebrew, ve'asita, ve'asisa. You should make this, you should make this, you should make this. Now, when Hashem is telling Moshe, ve'asisa, you should make it, he doesn't actually mean that you yourself should make it. That's not what he means. Because Moshe wasn't the actual creator or architect or involved in the creation, the construction of most of the Mishkan. What Hashem really means is you should make sure that it gets done. And we find that in other places in the Torah, technically Rashi also tells us in other places that the word to do it doesn't necessarily mean if I tell you to do it, or if I tell you the Torah says he did this, or we have someone who built a city. Rashi doesn't say, we have in the beginning of the Torah portion, and then the Torah, Chanoch built a city. It doesn't mean that Chanoch actually built the city, he had it built. So when Hashem is telling Moshe, you should build this, you should build this, it doesn't mean you should actually build it, it means you should have it built. But all of a sudden, when it comes to the Aron, Hashem tells Moshe, va'asu, and they should make it. They should have it made. So all of a sudden he changes from the singular to the plural. In all the other elements of the Mishkan, you have, make this, make this, make this, make this, make this, make this. And all of a sudden they should make va'asu. Why? Well, when Rashi gives you the dimensions for the thickness of the covering of the Mishkan, of the Aron, that gives you the answer. Because it is absolutely impossible for any one single human being to be able to carry a piece of gold, which is 2.5 amas long, 1.5 amas wide. You're talking about every amas is 1.5 feet. So you're talking about approximately what? 2.5 amas is 5 feet by 4 feet, whatever it was. And then 4 inches thick, 3-4 inches thick. Of gold, that's impossible for a human being to be able to do on their own. And therefore, all the other parts of the Mishkan, either you could have or you could not have done. Maybe you'll have groups of people, maybe you can have an individual do it. And even, by the way, the Krushim are the beams that actually were the walls of the Mishkan. And we're told that those were these huge pieces of wood, beams of wood, which are approximately 15 feet long, 10 amas high. Even those beams, obviously you couldn't pick them up on their own, and miraculously Moshe might be able to do that later, but you can construct them while they're laying down. You don't actually have to pick them up. But here, to create the Aron, part of the process of creating and concluding the creation of the Aron is to take the cover and to put it on top of the Aron, and to close it. That was part of that. Until you've done that, you haven't created and finished the creation of the Aron. So therefore, it is simply physically impossible for one human being to be involved in creating the Aron. That's the reason that Rashi tells you the thickness of the kaporis, of the covering over the Aron, because that answers why Hashem tells Moshe, 3 weeks ago, Torah portion, in the plural, v'asu they should make. Well, now you should be able to follow logically. Now you understand why Rashi, now fast forward 3 weeks from now, then, today in this week's Torah portion, when we have the words that Bezalel made the Aron, Rashi says, well, that's impossible. In addition to the question of why all of a sudden in this week's Torah portion we have a name associated with a particular component of the Mishkan, it's simply impossible to say that Bezalel made the Aron. Therefore, if Bezalel's name is associated particularly with the Aron, it must be for a different reason. It can't be because Bezalel is the sole creator and architect of the Aron. That can't be. Because if that were the case, then he must have had some superhuman strength and we have to read about a miracle of sorts. So therefore Rashi tells us, you know, there are many people dedicated to the creation of the Mishkan. That's true. Many, many people were involved. But Bezalel dedicated himself far beyond anybody else. And therefore, although many people were involved in the creation of the Aron itself, when we have to give the rights, you know, when you write a research paper, that is the last name, he's the, you know, you have many, many fellows and many other people working in the lab in the research paper, but he gets the final credit. It's his paper. Many people were involved, that's true. But he couldn't sleep. He dedicated himself. He made sure that that happened. And that's the reason this answers the question. Why is it that Rashi Tzari does not take the more simple approach to say that I asked Bezalel made it, so obviously Bezalel made it. No, that's impossible. I already told you that it couldn't be made by one individual, and therefore when we're told in this week's Torah portion that Bezalel made it, it must be that he's given the credit for making it while there was a team of people who were involved in its construction. Now, Bezalel was involved in every detail of the Mishkan. That's true. Bezalel was the overseer of everything. But there was something unique about his involvement in the Aron, which was not true about any other component of the Mishkan. And here is the difference between the word vayas, asiya, and melacha. In Hebrew, the word asiya means to get it done. Do it. Get it done. Melacha means to actually create and be involved in the creative process. It's interesting. That's why when we're told, what can't we do on Shabbos? What part of the Mishkan can we not do on Shabbos? The melacha. The melacha means the actual creative process. There's parts of it you might be able to do. You can study the designs. Maybe it's a mitzvah on Shabbos to study the creation. There might be parts of the creation of the Mishkan that you could do on Shabbos in terms of the asiyah, but the malacha, which means the actual technical creation of the Mishkan, that's what's forbidden. So the difference between the word malacha and asiyah is, of course, Bezalel was the overseer, the involved in every single aspect of the Mishkan. Asiyah, but you know when it came to the Aron? He was involved in the melacha, in the technical process of taking the gold, of melting it, of putting it on, of cutting the wood to dimension, creating the actual, this is what he couldn't have done it himself, fine. But because when it came to the Mishkan, he was involved in the nitty gritty details of its creation, therefore he is given the unique personal association with it. This then is the reason that Rashi uses the word melacha, and not asiya. Difference of one word, but therein lies the difference. Here all of a sudden you have the grand architect, the engineer of engineers involved in the entire creative process of the Mishkan. And what does he do? He gets involved in these nitty-gritty details. Selflessly dedicates himself to ensure that this Aron will be a spectacular creation. Therefore, Betzalel, it's your Aron. It's yours. This answers the two questions that the Rebbe presents. Now let us take this to a Kabbalistic and personal dimension. Each of us have a capacity for dedication, for selflessness. It's actually the most powerful capacity that we have within us. We can feel, we can think, but then we have this ability to go all in, b'chol ma'otcha, with our entire being, called Mesiras Nefesh, to dedicate ourselves selflessly. What Betzalel teaches us is that this ability, this capacity we have, has to express itself in the nitty-gritty details. Sometimes you'll see the CEO of the company, he'll walk in. People have walked into the building all day long. He sees out of the corner of his eye some trash in the corner. He goes, he picks it up, puts it in the garbage. You know why? Because it's his company. It's mine. This is mine. I built it with my hands. It's mine. And I, therefore, that little piece of garbage, yes, the CEO himself goes and picks it up. Mesiras Nefesh, dedication, selfless dedication, means that it actually becomes part and parcel of every other detail of the process. It's not just that I stand above and have Mesiras Nefesh. I'm dedicated to overseeing the project. If I have Mesiras Nefesh, it means that each detail is saturated with my selfless dedication. And that's the way we really serve Hashem. We serve Hashem in that same way. I'm willing to die for you, Hashem. I'm willing to give everything up. That's true, all of us are. But the ultimate goal is to take that dedication that each of us, if it came to it, yes, we would. We would give up everything. But to take that same feeling and that same energy and to make it part and parcel of our daily life on every single moment. That was Betzalel. That was what the Malacha. He went into the Malacha. That's what he accentuated. And that's what Betzalel teaches each and every one of us. To be able to take our Mesiras Nefesh and to put it in the nitty-gritty details. We have a statement that says, Ein Chacham Kebal Nisan. You can be a brilliant man. But you know who really knows how to get it done? Someone who's been tested. Someone who's been through it. He will be able to find a solution more than the most brilliant scholars. Why? Because it's his, it's mine. It became a part of me. And if it's mine, therefore, we're told in other places in the Gemara, sometimes you have simpletons who come up with brilliant, intricate legal arguments. You know why? Because they're fighting for their life, they're fighting for their case, and therefore their mind is able to come up with brilliant solutions and concoct incredible arguments for their side because it's mine. And do you know where Betzalel got that from? You know where Betzalel got that ability from? Betzalel ben Uri ben Chur. You know who his grandfather was? His grandfather was Chur. Who was Chur? Chur, according to most people, Miriam's husband. The Jewish people were about to create the Egel. They're about to create and fall to the depths that we haven't gotten out of till today. And Chur tries to stop them. He risks his life. He dedicates himself. He gets killed. Literally, he dedicates his life to do what? To trying to maintain the moral integrity of the Jewish people. That's what Chur does. That's what the grandfather of Betzalel does. And Betzalel, therefore, follows in his grandfather's footsteps. Betzalel, the architect of the Mishkan, which is the anecdote to the golden calf. According to most opinions, the Mishkan was given to us so that we can bring back the divine presence, which we shoot away by virtue of our serving the Egel Hazav. So Betzalel picks up where his grandfather left off. Chur dedicated his life, gave up his life, to be able to stop the Jewish people from falling into the traps of idol worship. Betzalel gets involved in the nitty-gritty detail. He takes his grandfather's passion, his grandfather's dedication and mesiras nefesh, and infuses it within the nitty-gritty details of the measurements of one particular, the most particular, the most special part of the Mishkan. And Kabbalistically, this is actually hinted within the names of Betzalel, his father, and his grandfather. Betzalel's father's name is Uri, from the word Or. His grandfather's name is Chur, which means whole, light and whole. Those of you who are a little familiar in Kabbalah and in Yiddishkeit, we have givers and receivers. We have in life those who give and those who take. All of the divine energy, all of Hashem's energy in this world is either Hashem bestowing and giving, or Hashem acting as the recipient and having us be the givers. In Kabbalistic terms, these are called Zah and Malchus, masculine energy and feminine energy. Uri and Chur, the light and the whole, the giver, the masculine, the receiver, the recipient, the feminine. Uri and Chur, this is where Betzalel came from. He came from a father and grandfather who gave him everything. And now Betzalel. Tzel means the shadow. Tzel is the reflection. Betzalel takes all that and is able to be the reflection, takes all of the energy from his father and grandfather, and Kabbalistically now is able to take all these koichas, take all this energy, and to be able to put it, direct it towards the creation of a home on earth. This, dear friends, is what we can learn as we approach our parsha this week, and this is how we serve Hashem in our lives. It's interesting to note, the Rebbe talks about this on other occasions as well, that there was a little bit of an argument between Moshe and Betzalel, and how they should go about the creation of this home for Hashem. Moshe said, you first have to create the components of the Mishkan, and then you have to create the home, the bigger picture. Betzalel said, Betzalel said, first we have to create the home, then we have to create the particular, the details. Kabbalistically, the Rebbe talked about this on more than one occasion. But what Betzalel is telling Moshe is that there are all these detailed components, and we have to get involved in all of them, that's true. But first and foremost, you have to have the Mesiras Nefesh, the dedication. You got to get the full picture. After you have the full picture of the dedication, then we can start placing it, and we can start infusing that dedication within the details of life. And this is what we do as we try to approach a Shabbos, to have this dedication of Betzalel, and to infuse it with all the details of our life. Good Shabbos, and Yashar Kerach.